trying to find where I'm supposed to be a preaching from. I think I finally found it. About to get foggy in here, eh? That's right, get a little foggy. I like it when it gets foggy, don't you? Yeah. I believe if they'd have hit that one more verse again, well, I believe we might have just went into, we might have took a little flight this morning. Amen. I'm going to tell you folks that sing up here now, I want you to understand something. If God's a moving, you feel like singing that verses again, you just clutch right into it and pop her in high gear, bless God, and let the clutch out. Put her in George Overdrive. Amen. Sing right on. You're helping me. It's a helping me now. I was ready just to shout her right on out and go on to the house this morning. Been all right with Brother Hall. It would have been. I mean that in my heart. Praise God, just shout her and go home. Amen. Somebody said, well, we got to have preaching every time we come to church. Well, I like preaching. I really do, but I'm going to tell you, sometimes God may want to do some other things, too. That's right. I don't want to get in his way. I'm afraid too many times we've gotten his way. Brother Milby said years ago, he was preaching for old Brother Wade Huntley down in North Carolina, and said Brother Huntley got sick and had to go to the hospital, and was right in the middle of a revival meeting. And said, had a heart attack or something. Brother Milby said he went to the hospital that one afternoon to visit him. And he took kind of like Brother Huntley's assistant, pastor, along. Said they went together. And said they got in the hospital room there and talked and prayed with the preacher. Finally said, the young preacher said, Brother Huntley said, have you got any instructions to give me as far as the meeting is concerned? Brother Huntley said, yes, I do, son. He said, do this one thing for me. He said, stay out of God's way. Amen. And I think we learn to stay out of God's way sometimes. That's right. Get out of God's way and let Him do what He wants to do. And I believe if we just got out of His way this morning, that it is untelling what might have went on in here. We might have got a hold of them ceiling fans sure enough. Amen. Well, I'm going to try to preach from a passage of Scripture this morning that I've quoted and quoted and quoted and quoted. But I've never, as far as I know, ever preached out of it in my entire ministry. I want to ask you to turn to Psalm 122. Psalms 122 in your Bibles, and let's stand together. I've quoted this one verse a number of times, but I've never been led to preach from it, as far as I know. Psalm 122 and verse number 1, a song of degrees of David. Amen. The Bible says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, under the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. Amen. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for they shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Now may the Lord add his blessing to that reading, that portion of Scripture this morning. Let's go to him in prayer and ask God's help. Our Father, I'm so thankful this morning for the cross. I'm thankful this morning for your love toward us. Thank you for the songs that we've enjoyed and listened to and have been able to praise you because of what you've done for us. Certainly want to thank you this morning, Lord, for all you've done, how you lifted us out of sin, delivered us from the snare of the fowler. How, Lord, you've lifted us up out of a horrible pit and set our feet upon a solid foundation. I want to thank you this morning for the Word of God that's forever settled in heaven. Now I desire your need, your presence this morning, Lord. I'm in need, and I desire the presence and the power of the Spirit of God. I would, Lord, that I could yield myself entirely over to Thee today. May the Holy Ghost of God fill me and bless me and anoint me. Grant me the liberty and the unction that I need to preach to your people, to encourage and strengthen their hearts in the faith. Have your divine will and way. Save sinners to Thy glory, and as always, my Father, revive Thy people that we might rejoice in Thee. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You. And you may be seated. David says in this Psalm 122, I was glad.
Amen.
What a statement he made there. I was glad. And what was it, Brother David, that gladdened your heart as it did? When they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. May I say, church, this morning that there are scores of things in this world and in this life that we're now living that can sadden the heart of man. I think of the troubles and the trials of life that we go through. Many times we're faced with things that discourage us along the way. And so often there are things that cause our heart to sink within us, and we become saddened by the affairs and the happenings and what's going on around us. And I'll tell you, there are scores of those things that we could mention this morning. There's disasters and there's death. And there's dilemmas of life that we all come to. And all these things sadden the heart of men. But you know, I also want to say that we can find in the Word of God numberless, I'm talking about numberless blessings that will gladden the heart of a child of God. I was never so gladdened in all my life as I was the day I got saved. Boy, I never want to forget that glorious morning. Looking back over the years at that day when God came to where I was. Bound in sin and locked in the prison house and was left there by Satan to rot in my sins and die and go to hell. But oh, I'll tell you, one day a heavenly visitor came by where I was. And I'll tell you, he possessed a key that I didn't have. The Bible said he had the keys to the kingdom. And it was an old gospel preacher that preached the gospel, and the Holy Ghost took the Word of God and plowed down through a furrows up in my heart and saw the good Word of the Lord, and I was saved by the grace of God. I'm glad that every now and then that He sprinkles that Word with a little bit of the water from the Word of God, and it grows and produces fruit in my life. Oh, I'll tell you, there's numberless things that we could thank God that gladdens our heart. I'm glad for the day that I met my wife. I'm going to tell you, besides being saved and called to preach, she's the most precious thing in my life. I thank God for the day. I'm talking about as a little bitty old boy. I looked at a set of pop beads on a school bus and wondered how amusing it would be to break those pop beads and make that little girl cry. And I've done that. And man, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, I don't know how many times I broke their little necklace around her neck, but I'm telling you, I could just about count the time that God sent me down to the jewelry store to buy another necklace to put in its place.
Amen.
You're going to reap it, friend. Amen. Amen. That's right. That's right. I never thought about that until right now. Oh, but there are so many things that gladden my heart. I think about the days that each one of my children was born. I could tell you the account on all 3 days. The days that my grandchildren came into the world. And the day that I took this church, I believe, was a day that my heart became glad. Now, I want to say to you this morning, I honestly say this, that it makes me proud to know that I'm your pastor this morning. and that God has let me stand here and plow this old book before you all of these years. And by the grace of God, you've hung right in there and got settled and grounded in the Word of God. I believe some of you honestly believe this morning that you shall not be moved regardless of the world and the devil and what they got to say about it. I'm going to serve God. Hallelujah. There's numbers of things. David said, I was glad. I was glad. Glad about what, Brother David? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And you know, by way of introduction, I want to mention five or six things very quickly this morning that I find in the Bible that will gladden the heart of man. And by the way, anytime the Bible uses the word man in singular form, it's talking about mankind or humanity. Not only talking about men, but it's talking about women. That's right, women can have a glad heart also. In fact, I see more women that are glad than I do men. Generally, it's the women in the house of God that's carrying the load as far as worship is concerned. Shame on us men. I'll tell you, it was women in the house of God this morning that got their hands up in the air and got the tears on their cheeks and stood and began to praise God for what He's done and thanking God for what He's done in our heart and our life. I didn't see too many old snarly-faced men standing up. Praise God, some of his face looked like a snarled tree stump. My God, I wonder if he can ever smile. Amen. But I find some things this morning in the Word of God that the Lord says, and this is by way of introduction, that will gladden our heart. Amen. Listen very carefully now, and I probably will not get any further than verse 1 in this psalm. I was glad. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I'm telling you, we ought never to drag in, buddy. No, sir, we ought never to drag in the house of God. And we ought never have to be driven into the house of God. It is a privilege to come to the house of God. And we ought to come with the joy bells ringing down in our heart. Amen. Now, there are several things, but I'm only going to mention five or six. I want to say, according to Proverbs 10:1, the Bible said, a wise son maketh a glad father. You young people hear what Brother Hall said? A wise son will make a glad father. Oh, I'm telling you, if anything can break your heart, it's your children. If there's anything in this life that can sadden the heart of a man or a woman, it is a rebellious son that they brought into this world. I'm telling you, God said that a wise son will always gladden the heart of a father. I'm thankful for my children today. The fact that they're living for God. Somebody said, well, I've lost mine. Are they dead? If they're not dead, you haven't lost them. The father of that prodigal never gave up on that boy that was down yonder in the hog pen. I'm going to tell you something else. He never gave up on the rebellious son that lived in his house. There's the real prodigal. That boy lived in the house. It wasn't the one that went out to sow the wild oats. It was that son that lived in the house and pretended to be right with God when all along he was wicked in his heart, full of jealousy. Are you listening? But a wise son maketh the father glad. That ought to encourage you parents to do your best with your children. Raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. May I say in Proverbs 12:25, the Bible said, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. It's like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Have you ever thought about just what a kind word can do to someone? Just a word of encouragement, how it can lift the heart of someone. Oh, I'm telling you, I've seen some stooped hearts. I'm talking about bowed down and hung over low, carrying a load of discouragement and depression. But I'm telling you, sometimes just a kind word in the right place will make a heart glad. Thank God there's men and women that can speak to our hearts just a few words and encourage. and strengthen us. Hallelujah. I want to say thirdly, listen carefully now, and many times we'll overlook this one. You know, there's just small things. There's small things that can make an individual glad. In fact, the Bible said in Jonah 4:6, so Jonah was exceeding glad for what, Brother Hall? Just a little old gourd. There was a prophet of God that was mad. Oh, I'm talking about real mad because of what God done to those Gentiles. And he sat down along the road and the sun began to bake his old head. And the Bible said that God drew a gourd and hung it up over his head. And he was exceeding glad for the gourd because it kept the sun from beating down upon his body. You know, so we don't want to overlook just little things in life. So many times just a little thing, a word spoken. Or just a little word of encouragement. Small things. Oh, brother, I don't think we've done anything great. But Brother Smith couldn't have been thankful enough about the pounding that the church did for him. And I don't think it bankrupted any of us. But I'm going to tell you, it was like a gourd that God hanged out over his head to keep the sun rays off of it. Oh, I'm telling you, I've been so low before, ladies and gentlemen, and didn't know where the next meal was coming from. And God would send a raven by and drop just a little bit of meat in the morning and meat in the evening and let me drink water out of that brook. Hallelujah to God. What a God that we serve. Just sometimes them small things will make a heart glad. And I won't say they some folks ain't going to get glad about nothing. I don't care what you try to do. I've tried to speak to some of you and help you along the way, and you just grunt when I speak. You couldn't be made glad if Jesus sat down in your lap and hung gold around your neck. You ain't about to get glad. I'm mad, and I want everybody to know that I'm mad, and there ain't nothing in this world going to make me glad again. Well, stew in your slumber and sleeping heart. Come on in the house now. I mean, just sit there in your little attitude. I've got an attitude, and I want everybody to know I've got an attitude. I'm telling you, God will give a little thing in your life to help you along the way if you'll receive it, my friend. God's got it for you. Listen carefully now. I want to say in Acts 11:23, oh, Barnabas. God called Barnabas to come down to Antioch. They had revival going on. And the Bible said when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad. Sometimes everybody's anything makes me glad is just to see the grace of God. Hey, and I'm going to tell you, it don't bother some of you. I saw Miss Ruth jump up back there this morning. I think I saw the grace of God. And it made my heart glad. I heard Miss Wendy over there shout. I'm going to tell you, I believe I saw the grace of God. And it made my heart glad. Oh, just to see grace working in people's lives. I've watched some of you overcome difficulties and problems and trials and hard times and stay with the stuff. And I believe that's the grace of God that's working in your life. And just to see the grace of God working there makes my heart glad. Amen. Amen. Seen some of you living a holy life and it makes my heart glad. Amen. Doing right and it makes my heart glad. Amen. I'm going to tell you, when you can do right when it's hard to do it, do right. You're a Christian for sure enough. Amen. You listening to anything I'm saying this morning? I want to say too, that according to Matthew 5:12, that persecution ought to make our heart glad. Oh, surely not, preacher. Oh, yes. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for so persecuted they the prophets before you were here. Oh, I'm going to tell you, that just puts us in a select number. To be persecuted by the enemy puts us in a select few that, I'm telling you, my friend, never attained to that. Oh, Jesus said to those few disciples, when you're persecuted and spoken of falsely for my sake, then rejoice and be exceeding glad. For he said, great is your reward in heaven. God help us. Will somebody turn them fans off? Please, somebody reach back there and turn them off. Turn the air up if you have to, but turn them off. Those boogers are killing me. They swell my throat shut till I can't speak. Somebody said, brother, oh yeah, they do now. If you've never tried to hoop and ball, nanny, they'll do it to you. Oh yes. Hallelujah to God. But persecution will make us glad. I won't say in John 20:20, after the Lord had been crucified and the disciples were waiting in the upper room, and our Lord Jesus came and stood in the midst of that crowd. Then the Bible said in John 20:20 that then were the disciples glad when? When they saw the Lord. Woo! Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you, if there's anything glad make us glad today, it's to catch a glimpse of the Savior this morning. I'm going to tell you, I've never seen him eyeball to eyeball, person to person, as the old timer said, flush to flush. But I'm going to tell you what, I have seen him by the eye of faith. I've seen him yonder on Calvary's mountain, yielding up his life blood for sinners. I've seen him on the shores of Galilee as he sat down and taught the Word of God to my heart. Amen. By faith, I've seen him in the clouds of glory as he's coming back after his own. They were glad when they saw the Lord. Amen. Things got to picking up around here this morning. I saw the Lord. I got a glimpse. Like old Bob Lincoln used to say down at Tabernacle, the Lord let me peep over. And I got a glimpse of what's going on the other side. And it made my heart glad. Oh yes, I've watched my daughter sit over there and her countenance drop over the several months. And now she didn't have to tell Daddy where she's living. None of you have to tell me where you're living. I know just about where you're all living. And I'm going to tell you, when she testified this morning about how that she got help in the preaching of the Word of God, I'm going to tell you, it gladdened my heart to see the grace of God and the Lord working in her heart. As it did in some of you as well. I'm going to tell you, our question here is, now listen carefully, I won't be long. The question here is, we're going to have to answer what it was that gladdened David's heart. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now come on now, I've only got 3 points. Now, I tell right now, some of you ain't going to get in it. I was glad. What was it that gladdened David's heart? If somebody met you out in the town and said, hey, let's go to the house of God, would it gladden your heart this morning? Somebody give you a special invitation to come with them to the house of God, would it gladden your heart this morning? I won't say, who is it? Hey, what is it that gladdens David's heart? I believe he was glad. I believe his heart was glad because of those that he assembled with in the house of God. Come on in now. Those that assembled with him, he said, and they said unto me, They said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I wonder who it was that said that. I believe it was those that David assembled with. May I say the congregation of the saved. Done nothing gladdened my heart anymore for that alarm clock to go off on Sunday morning. And I know it's time to go to the house of God. When that clock goes off, it's just like I hear the voice of Island Ford Baptist Church saying, get out of bed, the man of God, and let us go to the house of God. Oh, how it gladdens my heart to meet in this little place with you. There ain't nothing like it on this side of heaven, ladies and gentlemen. I'm talking about meeting in the house of God. Oh, I'm telling you, I'm afraid that we have minimized the importance of this place. I'm afraid we have minimized the privilege of coming to this place. I'm afraid we have minimized the power that awaits us here. I'm afraid that we have slighted the person that awaits us here. God help us Nothing like coming to the house of God with a congregation of the redeemed. Amen. We got ready to go this morning. And I was sitting there listening to old Brother Raines preach. And when I left, he was still a hammering her out. Miss Hall, come on out. She is early for a change. Somebody say amen right there. Put her stuff out on the table and said, "Hey, said you ready? Do you want to go on to church?" I said, "I'm ready to go. Let us! Amen. Come on, let us go into the house of the Lord." Why? Because it gladdened my heart. Amen. Old Brother Gene Mathias calls me every Sunday morning around 9 o'clock. You know where he calls from? Church. Amen. I asked him one time, I said, "What do you go so early for, Brother Gene?" He said, "I just like being here. I just like to walk around through the building. Amen. Just walk around through the house of God and pray and talk to the Lord. Amen. Wait on that crowd that comes in. Amen. Be a doorkeeper at the house of the Lord." Amen. And say, "Come on in to the house of the Lord." Amen. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every Sunday morning we come to the door and somebody was standing out there jumping up and down saying, "Come on in to the house of the Lord." Amen. Reckon that gladden your heart. I'm then in the congregation. The congregation of God's people. The assembly of God's people. The congregation of the saved. Now stay right with me. I want to say secondly, those assembled, those that we assemble with, not only the congregation of the saved, but I believe David might have thought of the converts he's helped along the way. The converts. I want to say something to you this morning. It might amaze you how it thrills my heart to come to church and be able to sing and to pray and rejoice with those of you that I've just had a little part in you being saved in your salvation. Oh, I'm telling you how that thrills my soul. Seeing Sharon and Angie standing up there this morning singing. Oh, yeah, it is, Brother Leroy. I'm telling you, hey, with the converts, those that God has led me win to the Lord. What a blessing. Let us go. When they said, "Let us go," wouldn't it have been wonderful this morning if all of you that I've had a part in your salvation would have met me at the door of my house? "Hey, preacher, let us go into the house of the Lord." I'm going to tell you talking about if that wouldn't charge a man up, that'd make a dead Methodist get happy. Oh, yes! The converts. I just read last night where old Peter and John in Acts chapter number 3 went down to the house of the Lord, down to the temple. The ninth hour being the hour of prayer. The Bible said there was an old blind boy sat there begging for alms. They heard Peter and John and stuck out that little tin cup expecting to receive something from them. The Bible said that old Peter said, fastened his eyes upon that old cripple boy. Said, "Look upon me. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." I'm going to tell you what the Scripture says. And they went. They went into the house of the Lord, into the temple. That old blind, that old crippled boy went in a walking and a leaping and a praising God. I can just hear old Peter right now, "Hey, come and look at the convert God gave me this morning. Oh, I'm glad to go to church with somebody that God has led me win to the Lord." Let me ask you, have you ever warned anybody of the Lord? I believe it would gladden your heart if you had somebody to grab by the hand and bring to the house of God. You can bring people to God, to the church that may not come any other way. What about your neighbor? What about the guy or the woman down the road, the family down the road? You don't know how it thrills me to see Shelby and Louise every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Tuesday walk in them front doors back there. Woo! They just something about a convert. Oh, I'm telling you, my heart is glad today because of the convert that is at the house of God in worship with me. And I'm praising God. David said, let us. I was glad. I was glad when they said unto us. Now get this, they must have been a third party there. Because David said, I was glad when they said unto us. That's me, there's three different groups, David. They and us. Amen. They all assembled in the house of God. Yeah. Is that not what my text says? Am I out of, I don't believe I'm out of the text. Amen. I don't think I am. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
Those that were assembled with, the congregation of the saved, the converts that we've helped along the way. And I won't say thirdly, there ain't nothing like going to the house of God with a companion.
Amen.
That God's given me. Woo! I'd hate to be married to some sorry heifer that didn't want to go to church.
Amen,
I'm telling you. Hey, it gladdens my heart that my wife and I can lock arm in arm. The companion God has given me. And stroll in the front door of the house of God. Catch me this morning and said, honey, will you get my songbook off the table? I said, I sure will. I'd be more than glad to carry your books to school, young lady. Woo-wee. Wouldn't it be terrible to have to get in an automobile and drive off and leave your wife sitting at home? Old brother Dale Manning called me this morning. I thought it was Dale Massingale, honestly. Talked about 2 minutes before I know who it was. He asked how the church was doing, was it growing, how all of you were, mentioned some of his names. And here's what he said. He said, preacher, he said, we've got a young couple, man and his wife, said he wants to come to our church, but she don't. And said this here last Sunday, and both of them was on the altar. But said, she don't like the King James Bible, but he does. And said, I don't know whether they'll be here this Sunday or not. I don't know whether they'll be there today or not. Said, sometimes she's with him and sometimes she's not. Oh, I'm telling you, I couldn't imagine how could a man's heart be glad when he strolls through the doors of the house of God knowing that he's got a wife sitting at home that is lost and without God and on her way to hell.
Amen.
How about reversing that? I wonder how a woman would feel coming to the house of God knowing her man is sitting on the sofa that morning watching TV or sucking a cigarette and drinking a cup of coffee, listening to rock music. She goes out of the house heading down to the church without him. Whoa. I remember the morning that Miss Gwen called my wife and said, guess what? Said, Billy got saved last night. I remember when I preached to him down at Brother Sonson Grawl down at Landmark Baptist. He sat back there and had that big beard. I'm going to tell you, them eyes were set. They were fixed upon something beside God.
Yes,
I thought to myself, that old boy's got a heart that's like iron. It's cold and indifferent toward God. But oh, I'm glad that because of a praying wife, some that God is able to get a hold of a heart, cold, indifferent heart, and bring that soul to Christ that they can lock arm in arm and rejoice and be glad when they come to the house of God. I'm going to tell you another group. It may have been those that he assembled with. What are you going to do about the children that's in your household? Woo-wee. Huh? What about it, Mom and Daddy? Oh, will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? I wonder if it will. I wonder if we got all the children in this morning. Oh, may God help us. How it makes my heart glad. I'm going to tell you, I can face a whole lot of things in life.
Yes, sir.
Just because I know that my family sits in the house of God on their appointed time.
Amen.
Oh, what a thrill that is to my soul.
Yes.
You don't know how it blesses me to see you young couples come to church and you sit down on a pew and you got that little crew stopping there beside of you. I'm going to tell you something, Daddy and Mommy, if that don't gladden your heart to bring a whole crowd with you when you come to church. Like Brother Doug said the other day, him and Brother Crawford over there can take their congregation with them. They've got a congregation to bring. Can I tell you what it says that they're like? I preached on this years ago. Psalm 128 and verse 3. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Wife being like an olive plant on the side of your house. Come on, listen to me a minute, men. That little woman sitting there beside of you has got to have somebody to lean on. That vine was growing on the side of that house. The side of that house give it strength and stability.
Amen.
A little vine cannot stand and grow by itself, but it's got to have something to lean on. Just like that little bride in Solomon chapter 8 came up out of the wilderness leaning upon her beloved.
Amen.
Some of you spineless, wimpy little men in here. The reason you ain't got an ounce of joy and any victory is because you're a wimp and your wife doesn't have anybody she can lean on. If you don't like that, you can lump it, buddy. I'm not a bit afraid of you. That's exactly right. So, hey, I'm going to tell you why there's no gladness in some of you men, buddy. It's because things ain't right down at the household. Things ain't right in the family. No wonder your wives are so discouraged. I wouldn't be too if I had to look at some of you every day. Praise God, I'm glad I'm saved. Is that right? I'm glad the Lord looks on the heart because I'm looking at your eyebrows, buddy.
Amen.
I won't charge nothing for that. Your children. Isn't it wonderful? Hey, come on, you men that are here and got your family here. I thought about Brother Robert over there. God, oh, yes, family right here. Son, I'm telling you, him and Miss Sue ought to be climbing the walls this morning. I was glad when my children got out of bed on Sunday morning and said, Daddy, let's go to the house of God together today. Better than that, Daddy, let's get in the choir. Better than that, Daddy, let's put our tithe in the offering plate. Better than that, Daddy, let's pray for the man of God and pray for the service. Better than that, Daddy, let's pray for the ministry. Let's pray for revival. Better than that, Daddy, let's have family devotion together. Let's get around the altar at the house, Daddy. Come on, Daddy, let's go to the house of God. Come on, Mama, let's go to the house of God. Amen. Hallelujah. My time's gone. I'm still on point one. Spent too much time there. Well, I want to say secondly, why was David glad when they said unto him, let's go to the house of the Lord? Number one, because of those he assembled with. And number two, because of the assistance he found there. Have you ever thought about what you find at the house of God by way of help? Have you ever found help in the church? You know, the house of God can be like many things in our life. It's called the house of God. That tells me it's a home.
Amen.
You ever get any help when you get home, men? Well, sure you do. I'm going to tell you some help. Some of you are going to get in a few minutes. You're going home and sit down and eat.
Amen.
You ought to be able to come to the house, to the home, and sit down and eat.
Amen.
Woo! What about the family you find there? No family like this family. Oh, I was glad when I got there because the church, my family, helped my heart. They blessed my soul. We're a family together. Coming to church is just like going home. Brother Nolan always says you can put your feet up under the Father's table. You're his child. Come on now. Get your feet up under the table. I'm about to have a running fit up on this mountain.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Full of love. That home full of love. And there's food for the soul found in the house. I imagine old David got spiritually hungry a number of times. Mom and all the children said, come on, let's go down to the house of the Lord. Oh, David said, I was glad because I knew there was food for the soul waiting on me down there. Well, if I leave me now, the assistance, that house of God's like a home. That house of God's like a hospital. That's right. Do you know that there's a doctor in the house of God that can diagnose your problem and prescribe the exact medication that you need? No wonder David was glad when he said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Are you ready for this? I'm satisfied. David looked back that day when he had heart disease and knew that he was dying. David said, let's get down to the house of God. It's there where I got my arteries unclogged, buddy. It's there where God gave me a new valve. It was there on that glorious day when God gave me a transplant. Hallelujah. Yeah. Church is like a hospital, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. Work on you on from heart disease. He's got some internal medicine. You know, they've got all these specialists today up at Trover. They've got those that work on cardiovascular diseases. They've got those that are internal medicine. I thought all medicine you took went internally eventually. I don't know how you can take something that don't go internally. Are you listening now? The house of God, ladies and gentlemen, you can find some internal medicine. I'm going to tell you something else in mind. You can find some eternal medicine. Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you, sick on the inside, sick in heart, sick in soul, sick in spirit. But thank God I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of God. For there's a doctor there on call, ladies and gentlemen, 24 hours a day. My wife called a doctor up at the hospital several months ago. And her secretary said, I'm sorry, but the doctor is full up and is not taking any more patients. I want you to listen. I'm going somewhere. But a couple of weeks ago, I saw that doctor's husband at Walmart. And I said, come here, I want to talk to you, man. I said, my wife's a very modest lady, and she'd like to have a female for a doctor. And I'm wondering if you'd put in a good word to your wife so my wife could come up and see her. He said, preacher, she's full up and said, I don't know if I can do a thing. But said, I will give her name and tell her that I've spoken with you. And said, you call up there on such and such a day. And my wife called up her on such and such a day. Look here. That doctor's secretary said, yes, Mrs. Hall. Said, we've been waiting on you. Said, we've got you an appointment set up for such and such a day. And you can come right on in and the doctor will see you. Oh, listen. Aren't you glad we can come down to the house of God?
Amen.
And the Holy Ghost! We can go to the Holy Ghost and say, I'm sick!
Amen.
I've got a heart problem! I've got an internal problem! I've got a broken bone! I've got bad eyes! I can't see! I'm blind! I have no vision! I need help! And the Holy Ghost can say, I'll put you on the appointment schedule.
Amen.
No wonder he's glad. When he said, let us go into the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, he can mend broken bones. He can mend broken hearts.
Yes.
How many of you here this morning with a broken heart? I'm going to tell you, you've come to the right place.
Amen.
I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the
yes.
Lord. Here I sat with a broken heart this morning. Here I sat discouraged in my soul this morning.
Amen.
And I've been wounded and broken.
Amen.
Somebody said, won't you come on down to the house of God? I believe you can find some help there.
Amen.
And you can find it there if
Amen.
You want it.
Amen.
It'll be there. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
Come on now, the assistance. I'm telling you, that church can be a lot of things. It can be a home. It can be a hospital. I want you to get a hold of this. The church can be a bank.
Amen.
Come on now, somebody help me, will you? It's a bank. Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? It's got free checking. Just write it out. is no limits unto our checking account down at the house of God. If you don't have what you need this morning, it's because you hadn't written out the check big enough. Son, I know a big God that can meet and fill the bill. I know a Savior this morning that can satisfy my soul. I've got a God today, ladies and gentlemen, that can meet every need that I have. Free checking. I want to say this too. Hey, they've also got savings accounts in the house of God. Some of you put that tithe and that offering in that offering plate this morning. You know what you're doing? You're laying up treasures. And better be more interested about putting her up on this side. But I'm going to tell you, here's the one I like best. I'm glad down at the bank, down at the house of God, there are CDs. I'm not talking about certificates of deposit. I'm talking about Christ delivers.
Amen.
Thank God, I'm glad God delivers.
Amen.
At the house of God, God delivers.
Right.
Listen carefully.
Amen.
Woo, Brother Jerome. Many taught Sunday school this morning. He's talking about when the Lord came into the world. Listen to this. The Bible said about Mary, said, and the days were accomplished when she should be delivered. And I thought about that load God delivered her at. Down yonder in that little manger, become a house of God. She went to that little house of God in Bethlehem, and it was there in the land of bread that God delivered her that burden that she carried for 9 solid months. God delivers, ladies and gentlemen. Now at the house of God, I thought about old Paul. When he said there, he said, no man stood with me. He said, albeit, said, the Lord stood with me and delivered me out of all my troubles. The psalmist, I believe in Psalm 34, says this. Somebody help me. I talked about this poor man cried, and the Lord delivered him out of all his troubles. I want to ask something. Did you come to the house of God this morning to be delivered? What did you come here today for? I asked the men in Sunday school, why did you come today? If the only reason you come was to take out faith on a pew, you might as well stay at home. You come to get delivered? Down at the house of God, I got delivered from, got my soul delivered. It was down at the house of God, I got delivered from cigarettes.
Amen.
House of God, I got delivered from the TV. Come on now. Hallelujah. You got any CDs this morning? Some of you, I believe, got a little few CDs. Hallelujah. It's also like a school. I was glad they said unto me, let's go in the house of the Lord. Why? We're going down to the classroom. And some of you young people in here can't wait to get out, but David couldn't wait to get in. I don't want to go down to school. David did. There's a real education down there, ladies and gentlemen. Learn everything about God we need to know. I wonder if any of you are going to pass the test. Come to the house of God and get instructed in righteousness. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go down there. Why? Because I did not know the way, but God gave me instruction. I found the right way. I'm closing with this. Stay right with me. I'm done in just a second. They said I was glad when they said unto me, let's go in the house of the Lord. Number 1, because of those he assembled with. Number 2, because of the assistance that he found there. Number 3, because of the assurance that he enjoyed. Look at verse number 2, if you would, please. The assurance. Verse number 2, David said, our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. The assurance of what, Brother Hall? The assurance of a firm foundation. Oh, hey. Jesus said that upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And why are we not glad when this church assembles together? Oh, I'm telling you, the old ship of Zion ain't going down. She's a sailing along. I was drifting away on life's pitiless sea. The angry waves threatened my ruin to be. When away at my side, there I dimly descry a stately old vessel, and loudly I cry, ship ahoy, ship ahoy, and loudly I cried, ship ahoy. Listen now, the good captain commanded the boat to be lowered, and with tender compassion he took me on board. And I'm happy today. As I had a work, all my sins washed away. In the blood of the Savior. And now I can say what? Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Why? There's a firm foundation there. Hallelujah. Firm foundation. I won't say secondly. Now get this now. Not only a firm foundation, I've got the assurance of that. But I've got the assurance of the unity of the brethren. Notice what he said in verse number 3. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. I want everybody to get a hold of this. That word is only used 2 times in the whole Bible. Used in compact here and in the New Testament in Ephesians 4, he uses the word compacted. And they both mean the same thing. Unity. Every joint fitly joined together and compacted together.
Amen.
Come on now. Let's wake up now.
Amen.
The house of God. Unity. There is a unity in believers. There's a unity in God's people. That unity is the Holy Ghost, ladies and gentlemen. He's a bond that holds us together. I won't say in closing. Listen carefully now. The peace. The peace that I'm blessed with there. Look what it said in verse 3. Verse 5, rather. No. Verse number 6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May all prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls in verse 7. And again, in verse 8, for my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within thee. I was glad, and they said unto me, let's go out the house of God. Because of the peace that I find there. You know, we ought to be able to come to church and kick our shoes off. And just be what we are, saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
And not have to worry about what somebody says about us or thinks about
Amen.
Us.
Right.
And I'll tell you, when you get a church like that, we can all be glad.
Amen.
When there's harmony, unity, everybody going in the same direction,
right.
Nobody pulling to the right nor the left, nobody kicking against the pricks.
Amen.
Moving along for God. David said, I was glad. When the whole congregation, when my converts, when my companion, and when my children said, hey, let's go into the house of the Lord. God, help us never to minimize what God wants to do in this place. Let's stand together, please.